So we hear this wonderful story today, and all of a sudden, all these elements are coming together, and we're almost there. We're almost ready for the birth of Christ. So we see that on entering Zechariah's house, there's this wonderful, joy-filled scene between Mary and Elizabeth. An intimate conversation takes place. And within that conversation, we see that the elder of the two sons that will be born, John, will be the servant of the one that is the younger, Jesus. And it shows that God is already wonderfully at work, overturning all kinds of structures of the world and its expectations. The spotlight for this particular story shines not on world leaders and not on any men who might be thought of as being able to direct that kind of work. No, here the spotlight is on Mary and Elizabeth, two lowly and shamed ones through whom God has chosen to begin nothing short of the transformation of the entire world. So we see Elizabeth being shamed because she has supposedly been infertile. She has been barren, has not been able to bear any children. And Mary received shame. Why? Because she will be found to be pregnant before her marriage. Now, so often women are overlooked or ignored, both in society at large and in our biblical narratives. But here, in this story today, they're the only ones who speak. Mary's first words prompt an immediate, silent response from Elizabeth's unborn child. John leaps, acknowledging both Mary's presence and the significance of the child she carries in her womb. Even as a babe in the womb, John's reaction to Mary's voice fulfills Gabriel's prophecy about him. Because Gabriel had told his father that even before the child's birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And already John is fulfilling part of his promise and part of who he will become, the one who points to the Messiah. Now, Elizabeth, John's mother, takes on the role of a prophet in this story, and she speaks prophetic words during this scene. She too is told, we're told, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and proclaims what Mary hasn't told her yet. And it's also not visible to the unaided eye that Mary is pregnant. Furthermore, through the Spirit, Elizabeth knows who Mary's child will be, for she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Her prophecy will soon be fulfilled when her own son prepares the way for this very same Lord. And this too was prophesied by the angel Gabriel about John's future role. Elizabeth not only prophesies, she blesses. She declares both Mary and the fruit of Mary's womb to be blessed. In this way, she begins a series of blessings that will continue throughout these couple of chapters of Luke, weaving the story in and around the coming of Jesus as a baby. And each time a blessing is proclaimed, joy and delight and praise are intensified. Mary and Zechariah, and soon Simeon, the prophet who will be waiting for them at the temple when Jesus is brought for purification, They will all be praising God for what God has done for Israel in the past and for what God is doing in this moment in history as they begin to partake of it and are witness to it. They all recognize that each and all of them are privileged to be instruments of God's saving work, and in so doing, they are richly blessed. Elizabeth blesses Mary not only for her status as the mother of her Lord, but also because Mary is trusting in God's promise. When she says, "Blessed are you among women," the emphasis here is that both present and future generations will praise and speak well of both her and her child. But when Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord," we might well translate Elizabeth's words as, "How happy you will be to really trust in the Lord in this way." Mary is blessed because despite all expectations, her social status has been reversed. She will be honored rather than shamed for bearing this child. But she has also been blessed with divine joy because she has believed that God is able to do what God has promised. There is an added meaning to Elizabeth's words, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And what Elizabeth is thinking of here is the implicit contrast between Mary trusting God's power and promise and Elizabeth's own husband, Zechariah, being quite skeptical when he is told that he will have a son. When Gabriel gave that good news to Zechariah about John's conception, Zechariah asked for proof that the angel's words were true. And when Gabriel came to Mary to tell her of Jesus' conception, Mary asked for an explanation of what was going to happen, how it was going to be, and then she gave her willing consent. Zechariah, the religious professional, doubted God. But Mary, the peasant girl, believed. And her trust in God's word opened the door for God to bless her and to bless the whole world and all of us through her. And in this, Elizabeth is celebrating Mary's willingness to say yes to God. Now, by greeting Mary with honor in this way, Elizabeth is overturning some social expectations too. Mary is an unmarried, pregnant woman. And as such, she might expect social judgment and shame, even ostracism from this, her older relative and kinswoman. Yet Elizabeth knows from her own experience the cost of being shamed and excluded. In her culture, a woman's primary purpose in life was to bear children. So as an elderly, infertile wife, she had endured a lifetime of being treated as a total failure. Her response to her miraculous pregnancy emphasizes that God's grace has indeed reversed her social status. She says, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace that I had endured from my own people." At long last, in her old age, she's an honorable married woman, pregnant with her husband's son, and oh, What a son he will be. This reversal of her own fortunes continues as she opens her arms and her home to a relative whom her neighbors expect that she would, of course, reject. Instead of shaming Mary, she welcomes her, she blesses her, and she celebrates her, treating her as more honorable than she herself. And so the pregnancy that might have brought Mary shame brings her joy and honor instead. When Elizabeth welcomes Mary, she practices the same kind of inclusive love that Jesus himself will later show to prostitutes and sinners. She sees beyond the shamefulness of Mary's situation to the reality of God's love at work, even among those whom society rejects and excludes. So Elizabeth's words and actions invite us to reflect on our own openness to the ways that God chooses to act in our own world. What is God doing through some of the unexpected people in our society today? Where is God at work through people whom our neighbors and others around us would often exclude or treat as shameful? And will we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit when the bearers of God's new reality show up on our doorstep? In the not too distant future, the ministry in the church across the street from us will be taking on new meaning. The Fresh Start program will not be traveling from church to church as it did in the past, but the people will be able to come there and be able to be housed there with the same kind of hospitality that we gave it here, well, when we had the people coming up to us. And when they went to the other churches, there will still need to be greeters. There will still need to be people to stay overnight. There will still need to be people who need to help there. And I can't help but think that some of them have felt the kind of shame that's been described here for us, the kind of exclusion from other parts of society because of what they have suffered and what they have been suffering. So maybe the Spirit is prompting us to, yes, once again, reach out and maybe help out over there. Won't be in our own church, but the help is still needed. Maybe we need to open our hearts to them too. And so I would say, may we, like Elizabeth and Mary, trust that God is coming to save and to free us. And may we, like them, give thanks that God has taken away our shame. And then may we respond to God's love by welcoming those who might be considered shameful by others. May we, like them, become a community that supports each other as we hope and wait and act as if the kingdom of God indeed lives among us. Amen.